So, my name is Sam, like Professor Goit said, and when I first received the invitation to speak at chapel, I was extremely honored, and that lasted like 10 seconds. And then I was immediately terrified because I, like many other people, am scared of public speaking. And it's not like what I would say normal scared. Like, I have fainted before from public speaking. but I have hope that that is not in the cards for us today. And thank you, Campus Min, for providing this chair. the irony of me telling you all that from a microphone on a stage under a spotlight is not lost on me. But because the Lord moves mysteriously and he's always working, I am here before you, hopeful that you can't see my legs shaking while I'm sitting. And now that I've just gotten really candid and leveled with you, let's go before the Lord in prayer before I keep going. All right, please bow your heads. Dear God, thank you for each and every person in this room. Thank you that you brought us here together to worship. I lift up the hearts that are heavy, Lord, those that are weary. Please give them rest and peace in you. I thank you for the opportunity to share with my fellow students and our visitors today. And I pray to be an instrument for you, that you sustain me as I stand here and put the words in my mouth that you think need to be heard. Amen. Okay, so I am a planner. Like, I love a to-do list. The checking off of a, like, to-do, like, that satisfaction is unmatched. So, not surprisingly, by the time I was in high school, I had planned my pretty much entire life out. And none of this was part of it. I officially moved to Seattle in 2017 after I finished a Bachelor of Science in Biology at a different university in Eastern Washington. And at that point in my life, there's really no other way to describe myself than lost. Like, capital letters, bold, underline, lost. The years I'd spent in college prior to that graduation were like robbery, and not just the student loans, y'all. I accomplished the goal that I had set out for myself, but it had cost me dearly. I lost my joy and my peace, my self-worth, self-confidence, and a lot of that manifested physically. Like, I lost weight, I started to lose hair, but the most detrimental thing was that my trust and my faith in God had been damaged. So I moved here after not getting into two different master's programs with no job lined up and no friends in town. I know we're starting off on a downer, but stay with me. It's going to get better. So how did all this happen? Do you guys have like a safety net, like something that you know where you put the work in, it's like going to turn out good? Like, it could be like sports or music, art. Mine was school, very exciting, I know. I had other interests, but I knew I was never gonna be like a famous athlete or the most talented musician, but I was like, I can get a college education. So my philosophy at that point was, if you study, you get the grade, right? I was so wrong. I was extremely humbled in my first high school college experience. I thought I was prepared. Like, I planned for my lectures to be hard, exams to be hard. I planned to study and be committed, and then I planned to succeed. And that's not what happened. I wish I could say that that was just the first test or like the first semester trying to like get it together, but unfortunately this became a trend, and I studied every night, like through the weekends, and would still just barely make the cut. And I would pray and be like, God, look at all that I'm doing. Look at all that I'm sacrificing, all the fun I'm not having to be successful. And my prayer was that he would manifest success in these grades, and that would help me feel better. And I would know that he was with me because I became successful. So it's pretty obvious by this point that my relationship with God was superficial, to say the least, through high school and early college before it quickly became very rocky. These pleadings with God and disappointments in my own performance and not meeting my own expectations or the expectations of my professors went on for years. And at that point, I struggled with a lot of anxiety and depression, and I didn't realize how much value I had placed on my academic success until I felt a loss of identity and a loss of direction in my life when it became lacking. I felt like the one thing I had going for me, my golden ticket to success, was taken. And I didn't understand, and I was angry with God for allowing this to happen. And God was not following my plan. And at the time, I didn't see him showing me an alternative either. And though truthfully, I have to say that I wasn't in a healthy enough mental or spiritual place to have accepted an alternative had I been shown one. So my plan had fallen apart, and I had never consulted God about the plan that I had for my life, but at this point, being so lost and desperate, I was like, well, what's his plan? He's a planner too. But by the time this occurred to me, I was so lost in my own hurt that I was like, why bother asking? Like, he hasn't answered my previous prayers. What is the point? I wasn't interested in exploring like a further relationship with God at that point. I felt like he had let me down and that I had done all the right things, and he just wasn't seeing me. My mentality was very transactional. I did XYZ, so now God should be doing ABC. And I felt like God wasn't holding up his end of the bargain. And so I bailed. I was very much just going through the motions of attending a Christian university, surface level, and did not want to be involved. I felt like my heart couldn't handle any more disappointment. I was so focused on why God would do this to me, and I think that is proof that at that point in my life, I did not understand God's character. So at the end of college, this first round of college, I was still lost and still angry with God. And I felt a total loss of control and direction over my life. And like I said, I'm struggling with anxiety, so the loss of control thing is like the worst case scenario, terrifying. I didn't see God working in my life, but I saw him working in other people's. And in my selfishness, my knee-jerk reaction was to be kind of annoyed, because I was like, well, my prayers aren't being answered, but I see him doing miracles for others. But I snapped out of that like pretty quickly, and I was like, well, my prayers still aren't being answered the way that I thought they should be. But he is working in the lives of others, so maybe my prayers for others will be answered. So I started to intentionally pray for my friends and my family and just people I saw having a hard time on the street. And in the same line of thinking, I was like, well, I've tried everything I can to help myself and fix my own life, and I failed, but maybe I can't help myself, but I can help other people. Like I said, I had just gotten out of college, and I told you about my no job lined up and all that. So not a ton of resources at this time, so it was little stuff. Giving the few bucks that I had with me to someone having a hard time on the street corner, holding a door open for like a stranger, letting people cut me in the grocery line, or being more involved in household errands or chores. And in that process, I started to not only pray that God would work in the lives of others, I started to pray for peace in my season. I was so tired of praying for him to change my circumstances, so I stopped and prayed for peace instead. And I took this time to intentionally look outside of myself. And that was something that was crucial. And I think that that's when things really started to shift for me. Slowly, my resentment that I had started to fade away. And in this intentional couple of months that I was trying to serve others in any small way that I could, God provided me with a church community and allowed me to serve on a praise team and volunteer at events. And he provided me with a job coaching gymnastics, which is something that I have loved to do. And that allowed me to build children up and build relationships and serve families. And he provided that with a schedule that respected my Sabbath. And these activities allowed me to keep looking outside myself and to really see what was going on with this whole service deal. And like I said, up until that point, I had not really reflected on God's purpose for my life. The purpose I had for myself was really just about success and what that would look like and how it would make me happy and how it would allow me to be perceived by other people. Beginning to look beyond myself was the first step in finding purpose and ultimately finding my joy again. During this time, this like little snippet of scripture would often be like going through my mind. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And I was like, well, Jesus served, so you should serve, Sam. And every time I got this like great idea, in would come the doubts. I was like, your life's a mess. How are you gonna help other people when you can't help yourself? And this went on for quite some time, just a tug of war, I guess, a mental tug of war. And finally, one day when this thought popped into my brain that Jesus served, so I should serve, the doubts were silenced because it wouldn't be the first time that God used a flawed person to serve. So if he can use others, why not me? So at that point, it became about how. How am I going to serve? My job at the time coaching, it was here in Kirkland, and I was living in Marysville, or am living in Marysville. And so my commute's kind of long, but during that time, I had a lot of time to listen to Spirit 105 and see a lot of buses around Kirkland that had like NU like advertisements plastered on them. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. and hear the NU commercials on the radio. And like I shrugged it off for a while, but it kind of got to the point where it was like a little bit incessant, and I felt like maybe this is like a sign. Maybe I should like check this out. And I had been considering going back to school because as much as I loved coaching and I felt that I was building kids up and providing a service, my knees were like, girl, this is not a long-term solution. We need to do something else. So I went through the course catalog and I saw nursing, and that intrigued me. I love science, and now I had this like call on my heart to try to serve a community and a people. but I wasn't going to make the same mistake that I did last time through college. I needed to know that I was going to do this for the right reasons and that I was truly being called to do this. And in prayer, I felt convicted to do it, but being new to the whole deeper spiritual walk, I asked God that if this was the path that he meant for me to take, that he would make a way. And he did. He showed up in every way imaginable. He worked my class schedule with my work schedule. He gave me energy to do 16, 17 hour days between work and school and a commute, and then still have energy left over to study. He, through my family, provided financial and emotional support to do what felt like starting over. All my friends had gotten into grad school, were in med school, got their first job, buying homes, and I was like, I'm taking prereqs. But I had to shut out that negativity and just focus on what me and God were going to try to do in this season of my life. And it had become very apparent to me that I hadn't been doing so hot, like, on my own. I wasn't the self-sufficient, misindependent that I wanted to be. And I needed God back when I was not consulting him with my choices and just trying to do my own life plan and struggling and making all the wrong demands. And I needed him now that I was going to try to undertake this new direction. And honestly, I didn't know if I was going to be able to do this, if this was the right thing for me to do. The uncertainty was really uncomfortable. Like I said, I'm a planner. And that vulnerability was also very uncomfortable. But acknowledging your weakness, as uncomfortable as it may be, is really just setting the scene for God to show up and do what he does best. This time, the vulnerability I felt was used as an opportunity to foster my recovering relationship with God. The uncertainty created a need for a constant communication. And nursing school is where I can say I learned to pray without ceasing. Prayers varied from the strength to get out of bed that day to opening my eyes to see and meet the needs of my patients and to guide my hand as I placed my first IV. With him by my side, I can say that I have done things that I didn't think were possible. All that to say that it's beautiful to come to a God candidly with your worries, your exhaustion, your frustration, and of course your praises. This deepening of interaction and communication and relationship makes it easier to continue trusting throughout the trials because you've nurtured a relationship that is built to withstand what the world is going to throw at you, and you serve a God who's overcome the world. So, fast forward to now. Nursing school is coming to an end, and I am more sure than ever that this is where I'm meant to be. Nursing has become a way for me to incorporate my love of science into my call for service. It's a direct and practical way for me to love my neighbor and advocate for the vulnerable and meet their needs with the same eagerness and compassion that I would meet them if they were my own. And I am so grateful. I can't say that the journey to this point has been easy. It has not. There have been tears and sleepless nights and weeks that feel like will not end. But I have never felt lost or alone. And I think that's where things with Christianity can sometimes get a little like fuzzy. Being a Christian and growing deeper in relationship with God doesn't mean that your life becomes a row of daisies. It just means that when trials come to you, you won't face them alone. Honestly, sometimes when you're intentionally nurturing this relationship with God is when it feels like life throws the really hard stuff at you. Sometimes you're under attack because your purpose and the calling that God has on your life is too intimidating for the enemy to let you go without a fight. So he tries to derail us, hoping that we'll blame God instead of lean into him in these trials. And I'm guilty. I just told you it happened to me. And we can fall into this trap that our identity, our worth is in our musicianship, athleticism, beauty, grades, our relationships, whatever it is that we place value in. When the only identity that is true and that truly matters is that we are loved and chosen children of God. Knowing this can give you so much freedom. The freedom to be comfortable in your own skin, confident in your abilities, the strength to stand firm in your purpose, and brush off the words of the doubters. Knowing your true identity is what will sustain you, and that's the seed that your faith can grow from. Because regardless of our life circumstances, that identity is not going to change. So we all know that God loves his children. He has good plans for them and wants to give good gifts. But this world is broken, and there is so much suffering. And I now understand or know that the suffering is because of the sinful world, not because the lack of goodness in God. I don't believe that he's intentionally causing us pain, though we experience it. He can make beautiful things from our loss and from our grief, but that doesn't mean that he's orchestrating our tragedy. It's hard to see when you're in the thick of it, thick of the tragedy, but realizing that makes it even more important to cultivate a relationship of faith and trust before the storm comes. So when it comes, you have someone to cling to. But we're not perfect. And what happens when God doesn't show up like we think he should, and that doubt starts to creep back in? Don't worry, there's good news. God is still perfect, even when we are not. Even if we played the blame game and ran the other direction from him for months or years, all we have to do is turn around to realize that he was with us the whole time. So, I don't know what season you're in, whether it feels like a winning season, a losing season, or even a waiting season. But I want to remind you that God hasn't forgotten about you. He sees you in your grief, in your loss, and in your victories. Don't forget about him. Praise him for all he's done and all that you believe he will continue to do in your life. Sometimes building that altar of praise in the wilderness, when it feels like God has led you to the wilderness or abandoned you in the wilderness, can be the hardest thing in the world. But starting that praise opens you up and lets us look outside ourselves, reminds us that we serve a God who is great. And that can restore our faith. It invites God to continue to fulfill his will in our life. His will, not ours. And gives us peace knowing that he is always in control. I'd like to remind you of a scripture in Proverbs. I think it's 3:6 that says, "In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." So it says straight, not easy. It might be straight up a hill, straight across the rickety rope bridge. But he's going to get you where you need to go. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for all that you have done in our lives, and we have faith that you will continue to work. God, we lift up our burdens to you, the hearts that are broken and weary. We pray that you restore our faith and trust in you, that you open us up to deeper relationship and know that your love is unwavering and that your purpose for us is great. God, I pray for peace over these people, whatever turmoil they're experiencing in their life. I pray for strength. And I pray for a continuing deeper relationship for all of us with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.
Sam, just stay here for a second. I want to thank you so much for sharing the thread of what God has done in your life and tracing that thread. We can all do a good thing for ourselves by tracing the hand of God in our lives. And I also want to thank you for being the College of Nursing Senior Speaker.
Thank you
so much. Congratulations.
Thank you.